to stand for the reading for the glory of God. The Word of God, to stand for the out of respect for the Word of God. We thank God for all of you, particularly those of you who are with us on Facebook Live and Periscope Live, something everybody here would tell you that I never wanted to do Periscope. It's just too dangerous, too risky, my soul. But somehow God has blessed that, and we give him the glory. Is everything okay? All right, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. And let me say at the outset, by the grace of God, I want to preach in your hearing an adapted message from Dr. Billy Graham, The Second Coming of Christ, Part 8. We are honoring and giving glory to God and to Jesus Christ, and also remembering their servant Billy Graham. We remember Dr. Billy Graham because of God, because of Jesus. And he would say the same thing. God used this man to preach the gospel in nearly every country of the world to multiplied millions. And may God bless his family, and may God bless the people who by faith in God served with him. And I met one of those gentlemen. Well, I met quite a few, but I met another one at the airport, and who worked with Dr. Billy Graham. He handled the films. And so we are honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. We're honoring God and remembering their servant now in heaven, Dr. Billy Graham, by preaching an adaptation of one of his powerful messages, The Second Coming of Christ. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. Everybody pay close attention in the back. And make sure you read the Word of God with me. Not aloud, but in your heart and mind. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Like Jesus didn't know anything about them. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily, truly, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And I'm sure the disciples were startled at that statement, because these were some stones that this temple was built out of. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." By the way, we heard about that. Heard about some wars and rumors of wars this past week. Someone asked President Trump, "Is Kim Jong-un playing games with you?" President Trump said everybody plays games. Everybody plays games. Because the head of North Korea had threatened destroying America with nuclear bombs, and President Trump had to write him a letter with the quickness and remind him that our bombs are much bigger. And so the leader of North Korea, after receiving that letter, came running back to the table. Said, "We would love to meet with you at any time, Mr. Trump, Mr. President." Called evidently an emergency meeting with South Korea to show his earnestness about it, and almost hugged the man's neck off. "I love you so much." Wars and rumors of wars. I thought they were attacking each other. They hugged each other so tight. "Yes, I would meet with you, Mr. Trump, anytime, anywhere." Wars and rumors of wars is happening today. "See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Lord, something that you honor above your holy name, that you do that. And Lord, so help us to honor your holy word. We thank you for it. We are amazed at it. We are rocked by it. We are convicted of our sins through it. We are saved from hell when we hear it. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. And Lord, I know it sounds like we're just saying words, but Lord, you know the difference when people are just saying words and when they really mean it. And we praise you and we thank you for your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is sitting at your right hand according to your holy word. And we know that you're there, Holy Father God and Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that you're here through the power of your Holy Spirit. And your holy word. We individually and collectively confess our sins, those who are willing to do so, our failures, our faults, our disobedience. As Christians, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our wicked flesh within us, the old man within us, and fill us, Lord, afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know that your Holy Spirit is already here. And so, Lord, we just pray for fresh power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word and to praise you. And we thank you also for your servant, a human being that we saw on this earth, who we believe, Lord, was the greatest evangelist in the history of the world outside of the Apostle Paul and the disciples. And we thank you for using him, for there are many people who can say with me, that a family member got saved through hearing him preach. I believe that my dad is in heaven because he trusted Christ under the preaching of Dr. Billy Graham. And I saw his life change. And one of the most loving men, and the most loving man I've ever met, is my dad. He, bless his heart, loved us all to a fault. I know he loved his family to a fault, letting us, unfortunately, get away with things we should not have gotten away with, and yet we did not get away with it because you called us on it. But he was willing to take the blame for things that he should have never taken the blame for. I saw him change, and he just didn't have the Bible knowledge to balance that love out. And now he's in heaven, I believe, because of your servant Billy Graham. And when I used to see my dad look at Billy Graham, as you know, I thought it was the most, one of the biggest wastes of time, and such a boring, it was just to tears. I was bored to tears when he would try to get us to listen. And now here, you allowed his son to go to Billy Graham's homecoming as one of the invited guests. And I know that he was overjoyed in heaven when he saw that. And now, Lord, I have the joy and the privilege of adapting. I cannot possibly preach like Billy Graham, but I have the joy and privilege to adapt one of his messages and to preach it. And because it is solidly based upon the foundation of the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And we pray that as millions were saved through his ministry, millions more will be saved. He, being dead, yet speaketh. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. And Dr. Billy Graham didn't say this, but we're living in a very strange day and time. A very wicked day and time, similar to the days of Lot, which is in connection to what we're talking about here today, about the second coming of Christ. And in the news today, a couple that refused to do weddings for homosexuals and lesbians, that is, men who want to marry men and women who want to marry women, which is an abomination in God's sight. And it does not matter what anyone else has to say about it. And even though Dr. Graham would not open with this, and he did not say this, he stood against this evil, as does his ministry, and as does his son, because we understand how detrimental it is to our society and to our nation and to the world. And it is not politically correct, but an owner of a wedding shop, that they chose to close down because they were attacked by the homosexuals and the lesbian community. They reported that they are still under attack and the wedding shop has been closed down. And we're living in a day and time that these people will sue you if you don't refer to them by the name they want to be called. We got men who want to be called a woman. We got women who want to be called a man. And all of this, my friends, is demonic. They need to be called saved. But yet the church is not doing what it should do. Just the other day, Vice President Michael Pence, and we're doing our job. You preachers need to do your job. Preach the gospel. That's what this nation needs. Now, when the vice president tells you preachers to preach the gospel, that's what you ought to be doing. Because folk need to be saved. We all have tendencies to do evil, don't we? We all have our weaknesses, don't we? We all have our temptations. Only Christ, once he is invited on the inside, can give you the ability to say, no, I love God, and I'm not going to do this evil in God's sight. Amen, somebody. I said all of that to say this. You will never get me as a man of God. I have been saying for over almost 40 years, addressing people as ladies and gentlemen, to try to appease this wicked, evil world, you will never hear me say, ladies, gentlemen, and trans. You will never hear me say. And some of these words that some demonically driven universities are coming up with, I can't even say them. Changing she to something demonic and monstrous from hell, or he to some HVM and SheVM and no. We're going to keep it simple. When I address you, I'm going to address you like I've always addressed you. I should, as I said before, I should address you as adulterers and adulteresses, like James did. But I am not going to do that. I'm going to continue to address you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Billy Graham did not say that, and he would not say that. Okay? So don't put that on him, and don't say that I go out here saying, I said Billy Graham said that. He didn't say that. He wouldn't say that. But I said it, because it needs to be said in this crazy society that we live in. Now, be that as it may, Jesus gave his disciples several signs that would indicate that the time of his second coming was near. And believe me, he's coming. He may not come when you want him to come or when you think he ought to come, but he will be on time, I assure you. Hell is erupting on earth in Hawaii like it has never been seen before in our lifetime. For those of you who think that there cannot possibly be a lake of fire for your eternal soul, just look at Hawaii right now. Lakes and rivers and oceans of liquid fire. That's what's going on in the center of this earth right now. And I personally believe, not Dr. Billy Graham, but I personally believe that the lake of fire is in the center of this earth right now, or hell is in the center of this earth. But it does not matter where it is somewhere. And you do not want to go there. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at our world today, it appears that these signs are playing out all around us. Dr. Billy Graham said these signs include a revival of religion, not a revival of Christians, but a revival of religion. People are very interested in religion today. Wars and rumors of wars. An increase in violence. Oh, is there not, even in our day, more so than in Dr. Billy Graham's day, an increase in violence? A soccer team upset another soccer team just yesterday. And the result, the fans for the soccer team that lost were so upset that they went out beating up the celebrating fans of the team that upset them. People are walking down the street and sucker punching people and knocking them flat out all around the world. The other day, right down the street from us, a kid, 17 years old, went in and started shooting his fellow classmates. You talk about trauma. You talk about child abuse. They will never get over that. The children will never get over that in their lives. You talk about a need for counseling. And then going to have the children go back to the school in 3 or 4 days, I think is insane. I think that's abuse. And more parents need to stop working everybody in the family. The husband and wife both working. Somebody needs to stay home with those children and homeschool their children instead of sending them back where a demoniac can come into the school from any point and start shooting. Up in Indiana the other day, thank God for a teacher who had the guts to scare the daylights out of a seventh grade student. Can you imagine? Thank God for this courageous teacher. And that's what we need, more courageous teachers. But we need them with a gun. Thank God. Boy was in a class. I guess he didn't want to take the test. They were taking a test in the seventh grade, a math test, I believe. And raised his hand, said, "May I be excused?" and came back with two guns, started shooting. Are you kidding me? This is demonic violence from hell. Only the devil can tell a seventh grade student to do something like that. Thank God nobody died. But the girl that he hit is in critical condition, but stable. The teacher was shot 3 times and kept coming and knocked the gun out of the demoniac's hand. Violence. Thank God folks were at a great restaurant the other day because it was packed. Enjoying a great meal, birthday parties and all of that. You know how we do in America. Somebody went into the restaurant and started shooting. Thank God 2 men had a gun and they pulled their gun out and they ended that situation very quickly. Those 2 situations worked out pretty good. Still sad. People were still hurt. But it could have been worse. Violence. man was on the plane. Evidently, he was drunk. Watch yourself over there. Come on out this way. They say he was drunk. Man halfway said something to him, and he started wailing on him on the plane. A whole lot of violence is taking place on the plane today. Violence. Women are being assaulted on the plane by devilish perverts. Now we got a new warnings telling young women, telling women to keep your armrest down and stay awake, because they're devilish perverts molesting not only adults but girls. Violence. And then there's domestic violence galore all across the country and around the globe. One lady said today in the news, she just could not believe man was trying to kill her and ended up killing himself. She to this day, she says, she's saying, I just can't believe that he tried to kill me. And was offering forgiveness. Over and over again, it's almost in every issue of the newspaper. A man who comes home from work, living in a mansion, driving a BMW, shoots his wife, shoots all three of his children, and shoots himself. Violence. Domestic violence. Violence in the home. Violence in the church. People are fighting in the church now. Kicking each other and battling each other, and fights are breaking out. Whole family went, I think they were sentenced to go to jail this past week. Come to find out, before we thought it was something else. They had gone and robbed a woman, and she was a Sunday school teacher in the church, and went and robbed her and beat her up. And now we find out there was some adultery involved. Always at the bottom of the heap is some adultery that causes that kind of thing. Now the whole family, the pastor, the wife, and the daughter going to jail for attacking a fellow church member, a Sunday school teacher. Violence is breaking out all over the place. Someone wrote a piece the other day. Yes, the devil is behind all of these school shootings and restaurant shootings and mall shootings. But it would behoove you to not provoke these devils and leave them alone. Road rage killing. I mean, just the other day, who has a sledgehammer, a big old sledgehammer in their car? Who drives around with something like that? Person pulled in front of this person on the highway. He pulled out his sledgehammer. Sledgehammer is not just a little hammer that you knock a nail into the wall. A sledgehammer, that's a huge, and beat the man with the sledgehammer on the highway. Violence like we've never seen before is breaking out all over the place. Now Dr. Billy Graham didn't say that, but I like I told you, I adapted this message. His message that he preached years ago. Increase in violence. And this is more than what he had to deal with and what he preached on when he was living. It's more now. This is crazy. I told you before, I was talking with my barber. I know some of you saying, well, you haven't seen your barber in a while, have you? I can tell. And I said, Mr. Ford, I said, Are you going to take your wife out to dinner tonight? Oh, no, preacher. Oh, no, reverend. He called me reverend. He's the only person who called me reverend. And I allow him to do it because he's older, way older than I am, so I don't mess with him. But I don't like that term. As soon as I walk in the door, no matter how crowd of folk in the, reverend, it's so good to see you, reverend. And I call him deacon. He's a deacon. He said, oh, no, preacher, I'm not going to take my wife out. I said, why not? Man, they killing folk in restaurants today. I said, well, I guess you're right. I didn't argue with him. I didn't say, no, you can't live your life like that, because he's going to live his life like that anyway. He said, I'm going to stay home. Yeah, I'm going to take her out. I'm going to take her out to the living room. We're going to eat right there. Yeah, I hear you. Violence all over the place. And hatred. People saying things should be better now as far as race relations. They're not. We've had a black president. That didn't help. Yet I still thank God it is as good as it is, and I still thank God for America. But if we're not careful, a civil war can break out at any time because of what's going on and what has been going on in this country for the past 15 years. Seething underneath. And so Christians need to keep on praying and keep on winning folk to Jesus. The only reason why a true Christian is not a racist and hates other people is because of Christ. And people living as they did in the days of Noah. Those may be bad or negative signs, but Dr. Graham said there is one good sign that marks the coming of the end, which we dealt with on last time, and that is the gospel of the kingdom being preached in all the world. And we give God the glory. My staff gave me some statistics today that blew my mind as to what God has done over the years through just this ministry alone. And we thank God for those ministries like the Billy Graham ministry that's doing way more than that as far as millions of folks hearing the gospel and thousands coming to know Christ as Savior. And we're praying for over 3 million to come to know Christ as Savior through the preaching of this ministry, and millions more to be saved through other ministries. And if there ever was a time to get the gospel out, that time is now. For just from this ministry alone, which does not have the budget that many churches and ministries do, we reach every corner of the world with the gospel every day in 1,000 different ways. You'll be amazed at what you can do now. And I'm going to say something that I have told my children through the internet and through algorithms and knowledge of how to use the internet. God has given human beings a God-like ability. Now, you're not God. Don't get it twisted. But a God-like ability where you can, with some computer science knowledge, you can set things up where while you're asleep, all around the world, thousands of folks can tap into what you have preached and hear the gospel and be saved while you're asleep. when YouTube came out many years ago, I said, who in the world would want to use some mess like that? I was so ignorant. Because even though Google and YouTube are starting to stop some ministries, we have been able to reach thousands upon thousands of folks through YouTube alone. And so we thank God for the internet and all of the things that are connected to it that can allow you to reach in every little nook and cranny of the world, because almost everybody has some kind of cell phone device. From every corner of the world, my staff told me today, just to show you, over 5,000 people have sent in prayer requests. Millions have heard the gospel. So we're living in the best of times. In the words of Charles Dickens, in the worst of times. Oh yes, we're living in the best of times. Listen to me very carefully. If you are a Christian and you love Jesus and you are excited about getting the gospel to people, you are beside yourself. Oh yes, you are. You can't wait to get up. You don't want to go to sleep. Oh yes. At the same time, we're living in the worst of times. As I share with you at the beginning of this message, dangerous, perilous times. But as far as getting the gospel out to a dying and lost world, we're living in the best of times. Join in. Everybody can do something now. You can write a gospel tract and send it to the world. You don't have to send a message in a bottle. You can put it online and everybody in the world can read it. But coupled with the preaching of the gospel in all the world is another sad sign. Dr. Billy Graham said that Jesus also indicated would take place. Scripture calls it the great falling away. The great falling away. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 also describes it as the great apostasy. We are seeing that today as well, and this Dr. Billy Graham was preaching about many years ago. It's worse now. As I stand before you, I am afraid that I am seeing the crumbling of a great resurgence in a great Baptist denomination. The falling away is a desertion of Christ, Dr. Billy Graham said. People who once claimed to know Christ are departing from him, the great falling away. Dr. Graham said to the church at Ephesus, Jesus wrote, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Jesus said those words. I'm repeating what Dr. Graham brought out from the passage. I'm repeating what he read from the Word of God, rather. Remember, Jesus Christ said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And by the way, Jesus is not just talking about confessing your sins, because We have many great confessors in the church today. We have many great confessors in that we're willing to admit, some of us are, that we did wrong to God, but we're not willing to repent of what we've done wrong. And we continue doing it. And this is not pleasing in the sight of God. It is not pleasing in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, God knows if you're repenting or if you're just confessing. There are people who used to believe, Dr. Graham said, there are people who used to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. They used to believe in God's holy word, all of it. It was a given that once you were born again and saved, a Christian, that you accepted the Old Testament and the New Testament. I never thought otherwise and perished the thought. But now we have preachers who are telling other preachers and other Christians they ought to unhitch themselves from half of the Bible, which the New Testament is based on. They used to believe the Holy Word of God, all of it. When it said it was wrong, it was immoral, it was an abomination for a man to lie with a man, or a woman to lie with a woman. It is an abomination. They used to believe the word of God when they said that it was, when the Bible said, and as the Bible still says today, thou shalt not commit adultery. But folk in the church commit adultery today like they drink water. And let their children commit fornication. With some women telling their daughters, you know how to hook them. I taught you where. Go on over there and get Deacon so-and-so's son. He's a good catch. Put your womanly charms on him and get that man. One preacher said that many young people are committing fornication. Are not getting married today because they're acting like they're married already, having sex outside of marriage, and still showing up in the church. There was a time when people in the church believed the Bible about modesty. Now, not only do we have the former father of the nation, Bill Cosby, going to jail because of his demonic antics and actions against women, raping women under the influence of drugs and alcohol. Now the grandfather of the nation, a man who, and I say advisedly, who played God in a movie. The whole nation loved him. But many are turning against him now. Morgan Freeman, A Dirty Old Man. I guess that's going to be his next movie, A Dirty Old Man. But he did say something true in one of the statements, one of the videos that came out. And you would think that he would not be that interested in the beautiful young lady being 80 years old. But evidently he was. And but he made a true statement. The young, beautiful woman sat down in front of him with a short dress on and then crossed her legs. And Morgan Freeman said... Now, he said, I don't see how y'all can do all of that. She said, what, the face? I guess she was talking about her makeup. No, he said, no. How you can sit there in front of me with a dress between your knee and your hips, and then cross your legs and think, then I'm not going to be attracted to that. And want that. I don't see how you can do it. The man was making an honest statement. He should not have said it. That kind of talk will get you in trouble, particularly in our politically correct society today. But he was right. And if men were honest, they would tell the truth and say that it turns them on too. They're attracted to it as well. Because this is a two-way street. Women are dressing immodestly, wearing tight, skin-tight pants and even yoga pants, not wearing underclothes, and wearing short dresses and then crossing their legs in front of men like that. That is a problem, and it is a problem, sadly, in the church that used to believe in the Holy Word of God when it talked about how that women ought to dress modestly. And here's the deal. Not only people who know Christ as Savior know better, but all women know better, because we all have a conscience. And there are many women who know what they're doing when they put on certain clothes, because they've already received compliments and comments, and they like that attention. Then as soon as somebody wants to do something with them, then they're all of a sudden now is sexual harassment. It's a two-way street, people. Men are designed that way, to be attracted to women, period. When you show everything, that's a problem. And I know that this is not popular. And I know that we have many mothers, so-called, in the church who don't teach their daughters these things and don't teach the young women these things. But I believe that through prayer, we can have a resurgence of the teaching of the Word of God that will prevent young women from being sexually harassed and raped by the demon-possessed perverts in and outside of the church. We used to believe the Word of God. We don't believe it anymore. And I said that. Dr. Billy Graham didn't say that. The great falling away, the apostasy. They used to believe in God's holy word, but intellectually they have fallen away. They no longer believe as they used to. There are others who fall away morally. They still believe intellectually, but they fall away in their lifestyle, how they live. Dr. Billy Graham said it is very much like when Paul wrote, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." He stopped loving Jesus. He stopped loving the Word of God. He had fallen away and had fallen in love with the world. How about it, dear Christian friend? Have you fallen away? Are you in the process of falling? I am sure that you can feel yourself falling away. You know you're not where you used to be in the Lord. And I know this is true just from preaching the gospel. We are amazed at how many people who are already saved hear the gospel preached in a very simple fashion, and how they come back out of the wilderness of a backslidden situation. And they write us and they tell us they're coming back. They're already saved, but they're coming back to the Lord. For so many have fallen away. This is a phenomenon that I did not expect. Everybody here knows I never expected that because I never preached that kind of, I never gave that kind of invitation. Maybe I should. An invitation for people to come back to the Lord. Wow. Wow. Maybe I should start. Maybe I just should start a whole new ministry and just go out evangelizing for those who are saved but who need to come back to Jesus. They're already saved. We never gave an invitation. I gave an invitation for that. Nor do we have anything on our site that says this box is for those who are coming back to the Lord. Am I correct about that, technician? In the back? And so as far as I know, we don't have that. But they write us under the salvation box and let us know that they are coming back to the Lord. They hear the gospel. I don't give an invitation for that, but they know that they're saved and they know that they're wrong. They repent and they say, pray for me. I'm coming back to the Lord. Maybe I need to preach more on coming back to the Lord along with the gospel. You can fall also, Dr. Graham said. And Dr. Billy Graham said, you can fall away also by Phariseeism. You can become cold and hard and callous. Isn't that true? And haven't many of us become that? Cold, hard, and callous. Mean and hateful. At one time we had a loving heart of compassion for people. Had a burden for souls for people. Do you remember the day when, in the early days of your faith, when you heard a whole lot about having a burden for souls, being concerned about souls? Some of us call it being soul conscious. But the older we get in the Lord, many of us have fallen away from that. There was a time we always had gospel tracts with us. And now we don't. There was always a time, there was a time when we always, when we went through the drive-thru, went to a restaurant, we always left a tip and at the table, if we dined inside, and a gospel tract. We'd never leave the restaurant without doing that. Every time we went to a public bathroom, we left a gospel tract, went out on purpose and knocked on doors to witness to people. Now we don't. It takes the Vice President of the United States to tell preachers to preach the gospel. That's what you need to do. Dr. Billy Graham said, you can become cold and hard and callous, still believing the creed and the dogmas, but not producing the fruit of the Spirit. You have lost your first love, Jesus said, that freshness and joy which you had when you first came to Christ. Do you remember those days? Everybody who has been born again can remember those days. Like you were walking on air. The sun shined brighter. It was just a different thing, man. It was a new day for real. You couldn't wait to get up to serve God. You couldn't wait to go to church. Hear me well. You couldn't wait to go to church on Sunday mornings. Sunday night. What? Sunday night church? For real. That was the best service, man. We drove almost 30 miles one way to get to church, to a Bible-believing church, in a hot box, we used to call it. That's right. We would go to church early in the morning for Sunday school and worship. We would load up in cars and drive all the way from Keesler Air Force Base all the way down to Goshen, Mississippi. Are you kidding me? Laughing and kidding and fellowshipping and singing all the way. Excited. And we were not late either. Riding in jalopies. After church, stopping at a restaurant on the way, we fellowshipping together. And then go all the way back to Keesler Air Force Base, 24, 25 miles, and then couldn't wait to get back that night. What you going to do, Leon? I'm going to take a nap. That's what he always, it looked like he was always taking a nap. What you going to do, Brother Walter? Man, I'm just going to watch a little game. What you going to do, Marcus? I'm going to read this psychology book. And we all would take a little break and do something. But, buddy, when it was time for service, everybody got into the jalopies and we rode all the way back, singing and fellowshipping, talking about Jesus, talking about the people we witnessed to. All the way back, Sunday night, 24 plus miles, almost 30 miles round trip, one way. Couldn't wait. And then on Wednesday night too, couldn't wait. Get off work. We arranged our schedules in the military to be at church on Wednesday night with a big Bible, with, for many of us, highlighters. You know, we had these expert note takers, man, when you first got saved. Are you kidding me? We kept the highlighting business people in business. Highlighters, pens, what? Bible highlighted and color-coded and everything else, man, when you first got saved. Couldn't get enough. Then while you're riding around throughout the week, listening to Oliver B. Green, Dr. Oliver B. Green, listening to the preacher with the twang, the show, the program was called Through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee. Thank you. Listening to Christian radio all day long on the job, all night long if you worked on the midnight shift like me, reading the Bible. Nobody would get by you in those days. When you first came to Christ, nobody, not even the general of the base. The general of the base came by my office with his entourage. And my supervisor told me not to do it. Let me tell you something, she said. Don't do that. I said, what? The thing that you do. You know that thing you do. Are you talking about witnessing, telling people about Jesus? Yeah, it's that right there. Don't you do that. You're going to cause me a lot of problems. I said, I hear you. So, you know, when people say, I hear you, that means they're not going to listen to what you said. The general came by in his entourage, and they were very impressed with the new system in the hospital, and they talked about it, and yes, and I showed them how it was. You know, they had me up there because I was the best one. I was the best one to know how to do it. I looked the sharpest. I had my gig line straight, man. I was fit and trim. Yes, sir. I knew how to salute, snap those feet, heels together, bam! Oh, they had me up there. But she said, you're the best I got, but let me tell you something. Don't you do that. I said, what? You know that thing you did with me. I said, what? Witnessing about Christ? Telling folks about Jesus? Yes, that's what you call it, whatever. Don't do it. And so I said, I hear you. And so the general came by with his entourage, and they looked at everything, and they stayed there for about 15 minutes and stood and listened to me explain everything and showed them everything. And And as they turned around to go out, I'm not going to say the Lord told me. But I said, excuse me, General. If you were to die today, where would you go, heaven or hell? Oh, boy. He said very happily, I believe I would go to heaven. Okay, I said, well, here's a gospel tract that will show you how to be saved from hell. And then here's one for you, here's one for you. Gave all the honor. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Ammon, thank you. And so I sit there at the desk waiting for a phone call. And I didn't get a phone call, but my supervisor came to the door, red face, and got on my case and told me in no uncertain words, I'm going to get an appointment for you at the psychiatrist's office. I said, what? I said, excuse me? She said, you're going to a psychologist or psychiatrist or somebody. I said, for what? I said, because you did that thing I told you not to do. I said, I just told folks about Jesus. She said, but you can't do that with the general of the base. So next week, you're going down to the psychologist's office. And sure enough, she set up an appointment for me at the I don't know if it's a psychiatrist or psychologist or whoever. And they asked me some questions. And the doctor said, look, there's nothing wrong with him. And I got my job back, and I was honorably discharged after 4 years. Now, folks, I'm telling you, those were the days, my friend. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? The first love days. I shall never forget them. And everybody who has trusted Christ as Savior will never forget those first love days. Dr. Billy Graham goes on to say, that is where many people are today. He said there are many other signs that we can look at in the Bible. In the third chapter of 2 Peter, I believe you will find a description of the atomic bomb. He said nobody could explain those passages of Scripture until the bomb fell on Hiroshima. And now, no theologian dare deny that an event can take place in which a third of the world is burned up by nuclear warfare. Oh, there are so many things you could talk about, he said. You could talk about the tremendous happenings in Israel, which many people believe are a sign of the end. I believe these signs all point to the fact that Jesus will soon come. And the only way that you can escape the wrath of God that will fall on the world at that time is through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by placing your faith and trust in Him alone. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, dear friend, you are not ready for His second coming. And He is coming. It is a fact that He came the first time. And a man like that, the man Jesus Christ, the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us, the man who walked on the water that He made, the man who raised Lazarus from the dead, the man who healed the sick and fed thousands, the man who rose from the dead himself, I assure you, my beloved, is coming back. And so in the words of one great preacher, get ready, get ready, get ready. And in order to get ready, allow me to show you how you can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of sin. Yes, we do. I'm dying right now. Age is catching up with me. I feel death coming. I hope to be taken in the rapture, but I probably will go the way of the rest of humanity. But I'm looking forward to the rapture of the church. But I'm dying and you're dying. When you have to visit the hospital, it's a sign of your dying. When you get sick, it's a sign of you're on the way to death. Ailments and pains and excedrins and aspirin and anacin says that you're on the way to death. So thirdly, dear friend, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. For Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is an awful place. It's also called the lake of fire. And if you think there is impossible to have a lake of fire, just look at television this evening and you'll see a lake of fire forming over out of the earth in Hawaii today. Rivers and lakes of fire. Now hell is a bad place and hell is bad news, but we have some good news for you today. You don't have to spend eternity in hell. You can spend eternity in heaven based upon the same Jesus who warned you about hell, tells you how to escape hell. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And dear friend, all you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. For he is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He paid for all of your sins and all of mine, and all you have to do is believe in him, trust in him, pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer called the Sinner's Prayer that Michael Lewis led me in some 40 years ago almost, and you can be saved today. many, many people have trusted Christ as Savior through this ministry, and you can too. So follow me in prayer. Mean it from your heart. Everything you say, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have sinned against you. I have broken your Ten Commandments through lying, through dishonesty, through stealing, through covetousness and lusting after people and things that don't belong to me. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away all of my sins, the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of the evil that I have done, and help me to turn from the evil ways that I have committed, and to live for you forever. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good.